Hi, I'm Jim, and Glenn is here with me.
Woohoo!
And that's our show. So, Glenn.
Yes, Jim.
Question for you.
Shoot.
I assume you're a fan of listening to music.
More or less, yeah. Maybe not as much as I used to be, but okay. I am.
Well, over time, you know, how you listen to it now versus how you may have listened to it in the past, what have been your listening habits?
I'd say it's like vastly, vastly different.
Okay.
I mean, I've been through like all of the formats. Like I had 8-track tapes.
He had 8-track tapes.
Yeah, I'm that old. I had Kiss Alive 3 on 8-track.
Wow.
Maybe one or two other ones. So I can remember 8-tracks.
I can't. I mean, I sort of can, but I did not grow up with them.
Yeah, I mean, and I switched to vinyl. I had a lot of vinyl.
Okay.
And then I was kind of making the switch to cassette when I started college, I guess. Even though CDs were coming out. But like when I went to college, I brought my parents' old stereo and some 8-tracks. So I brought 8-tracks. Wow. I mean, at that point, it was already retro.
Yeah. But he was that guy.
Yeah, I was that guy. And then eventually I got the quintessential Sony rack system.
Yep.
With the CD player and all of
everything
that
stuff. All integrated into it.
So, but from there, I mean, and I used to listen to a lot of radio.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, you know, I'd record the song off the radio.
Yeah, I did the same exact thing.
That kind of stuff. But it eventually moved to CDs, mm-hmm. and I was buying CDs for a while. And then, like, in the modern era, like, I have Amazon Prime Music. I think that's what the Amazon Music thing is called.
There's Amazon Music Unlimited, I think it's called.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have that. Mm-hmm. So that's generally, like, almost all music I listen to
pretty much abandoned physical media.
At this point, I have, only because like I've gotten rid of, you know, we had like a small portable system that had like a 3-disc changer and a couple of cassette things mm-hmm. on it. We got rid of that because it broke. I got rid of any CD players that I had, cassette players. I just got rid of these. I got rid of all of my cassettes like 2 or 3 moves ago.
And he's moved around a little bit, ladies and gentlemen.
So when I moved in with my wife, I got rid of all of my cassettes. My friend would not let me get rid of my vinyl, though. So I still have all my vinyl.
Why the cutoff?
I don't know. Like, this wasn't my decision. Like, I was going to get rid of all of it.
Okay.
But she convinced me for some reason to keep the vinyl. And I'm actually glad I did, because vinyl has kind of made a comeback, and I do want to listen to vinyl again. I need to just get a new system.
You don't have the equipment available.
Yeah, I just don't have the equipment, because I mm-hmm. still have a lot of CDs, and I was in the process of ripping those, which is basically just recording the music off of CD onto a digital
format. Yeah, I've done that with pretty much my entire CD collection.
Yeah, I mean, I got through maybe half of it, but between me and my wife, there's just so many, and I just got tired of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't necessarily have to do it for every title.
I guess.
Just the ones you like.
I just wanted to, I'm a completist.
Keep the ones you want, cancel anytime.
But yeah, so that's where I'm at. I don't really, everything that I'm listening to these days is on Amazon.
Is on
Music.
A streaming service.
On streaming, yeah.
Okay. For me, well, I started out mostly listening to FM radio.
Right.
I admittedly got a lot of music exposure from MTV, which kind of ties into
what we were talking about
in one of our recent full episodes.
Yes.
The 80s One Hit Wonders, if you want to go back and listen to that one. I had the tape recorder. I taped songs mm-hmm. off the radio the same way once I got that.
When the DJ came in and started talking.
Yeah. Click, pause, stop, whatever. You know, in the house, there were records I was probably not allowed to touch.
Oh, yeah. I had that, too. But I wasn't as interested in those anyway.
Yeah. Well, it was probably just more a matter of I was probably too young to be trusted with them.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm flashing back now. So my parents had, and technically still have, a huge piece of furniture that had a built-in radio and turntable.
Yes. My grandparents had something very similar.
Yeah.
It was like a console table.
I mean, this was like a china cabinet.
Yeah.
Like that size. I mean, it actually is. It like had a china cabinet on it.
Yeah.
And it had these speakers with like these kind of louvered doors.
Okay. Yeah.
Like 3-panel, I think, louver that you'd open up to get better sound out of it.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Element
but
of
that
it.
Thing died so long ago, but they still have it. They still use piece of furniture. Cool. And then I had in my room an old record player mm-hmm. that was also a piece of furniture, more like a size of like maybe a desk, where the top of it opened up and the record player was inside and then had like a big speaker cabinet made up most of it.
So physical media wise, I probably mostly got into cassettes because they were, you know, pretty tough, pretty rugged.
Yeah. Pretty ubiquitous too. I mean, that was pretty much what you got.
Yeah. Late 80s, early 90s. That was, well, it was really the only portable option.
Yeah.
I had a cassette Walkman and stuff like that. So I would listen to.
Genuine Sony Walkman?
No, it was a knockoff.
My sister had a genuine one.
I had a
GE one with the 3-band graphic equalizer on it.
Oh, wow. No, mine couldn't even rewind. It only could fast forward and play.
Nice.
So if you had to rewind, you had to flip the tape over. It was right. Pain. Got into, you know, started building up a CD collection in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Got a Discman, so that kind of replaced the tapes mostly.
Yeah.
At that point. Then MP3s came along, so it was doing a bit of downloading of that. iTunes came along. That was, for a while, I was really kind of not buying physical media much anymore for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then about 7 years or so ago, I started getting back into it again.
And what are you buying, CDs again?
Mostly CDs. And I've also gotten into more recently, since I got a secondhand turntable, I acquired some LPs as well. The main motivator behind it, and this is going to get into musical nerddom, is, if you look this up, about the loudness war, there's a lot of complaints about how modern music is mastered so loud and ear bleeding that if you go back and find earlier versions, out of print versions of many recordings, they sound a little bit more natural. So that's what's driven me a lot to seek out those older copies
of
things.
It's not so much the volume, but how they attain that volume with all the compression.
Exactly.
That just kills it.
Yes.
So basically, like, if you're making something louder, the peaks are eventually just going to get cut off.
Yep.
So what they do is lower those peaks and increase everything.
Yep.
So that it's just, it's hard to explain. Really, if you're not used to looking at the actual waveform, it's hard to explain. But I mean, I do that a lot when I'm doing my vocal recordings. I can see
just as important
what I'm
there.
Pulling up. Yeah.
Right. So that's driven me a lot to, particularly in the last several years, just amass a lot of older out-of-print versions of mostly CDs, just to get more pleasant-sounding versions of those recordings that aren't available on streaming.
But do you think it's even possible at this point? I feel like the entire music scene has just changed, and it's breaking into that is not like it used to be.
No.
And I think it's harder for a band to break through at this point.
Yeah, the musical genres have kind of become so niche anyway that, there's anybody can put out a record very easily compared to prior decades, but...
But to get people to listen to it is another story.
Yeah, I don't...
And to make money from it is even...
We could probably go into a whole different podcast talking about the music industry and what it must be like to try and make a living as a musical artist, but... Yeah, so that's... I've used streaming at times just if I'm looking something up. I guess my go-to tends to be just look it up on YouTube because there's usually a video tied to it.
Yeah, that's sometimes easiest. I'll do that if I'm trying to find something mobile. I'll do that sometimes, even though I have the Amazon Music app on my
phone. I mean, I've done trial periods of Amazon Music and I have a free Spotify account. I don't pay for it.
Well, you have XM too, though, don't you?
No, I don't have that.
You used to.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I was on a satellite radio kick for a while because I was listening to it in my car quite a bit, but I've canceled that. I don't really listen to that anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely just a different scene.
It is, and it's a little challenging because I still want to try to expose myself to new things as far as music goes from time to time. I do still listen to, we're in the Southeast Pennsylvania area. There's a pretty well-known independent radio station based out of the University of Pennsylvania called WXPN, and
I used to listen to that a lot.
My commute's not very long, so if I am listening to a terrestrial radio station, more than likely it's that. They play things that are not necessarily going to be on the present day top 40 radio, some of which, you know, intrigue me and maybe want provoke my attention to explore further. I admit I still tend to go back to a lot of earlier areas of music in my listening habits.
Yeah, I mean, I've found myself doing that more and more. I do try to find new stuff as well, but I just feel like it's a more difficult challenge than it used to be.
It is.
XPN used to have a CD of new music they would release every year.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Well,
I think I
don't do that anymore.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess most of my listening habits are going to gravitate towards my collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mostly listening to them on my phone because I've burned them, ripped them to my computer so I can put them on my phone. I didn't do that for a while, but I finally gave in, and it's just very convenient to do it that way. It ties into my car. Since there's no longer a CD player in my car, they've been phased out, so I use my phone in the Bluetooth most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the whole Apple CarPlay hookup thing, since I've got the iPhone, and usually I'm listening to not Apple Music. I do occasionally listen to Apple Music, but it's usually the Amazon Music on that, because we have a subscription to that.
Right. So, yeah, we've kind of gone in a little bit different paths, but
yeah,
I freely admit that maybe my choice is not necessarily going to be the most popular.
No, I do really want to get more into vinyl again, though.
Yeah, so I've
try to pick that back up soon.
I don't know. I've found for me, vinyl is a little bit, perhaps the OCD element of me gets really annoyed by all the little pops and clicks and things that I
could understand that.
Just having grown up with pristine digital copies of most of the music I listen to, it's just a little bit hard to accept.
I mean, that. I was old school even for my age, so I had all the vinyl, and I mean, you know, to deal with the 8-tracks with a ka-tung right in the middle of a track.
Yeah, and I found amusing about 8-tracks is that they frequently had to rearrange the song order to try to get all the tracks close to the same length as they could.
And sometimes they wouldn't, and it would just interrupt a song in the
middle. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
I was just listening to something the other day and was reminded of that. I think it was Billy Joel's Zanzibar.
Okay.
There's a big trumpet solo.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall, the trumpet solo was interrupted in the middle of it with a track.
Ka-clunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm glad I missed that era.
All right. So that probably about sums up music preferences. And
everybody's got their own.
Yes.
If you've got yours, then tell us about it.
Yes. You can email us at show@backstage.link, or you can go to our website, show.backstage.link.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for this hopefully brief conversation.
I'm sure it will be brief. And this is our last actual episode, mini or otherwise, for the season. So thank you for listening throughout season 2 and season 1, as you hopefully have. And please join us within a few months for season 3.
All right. And I'm Jim.
And I'm Glenn.
And that's our show.
That's Our Show was brought to you by The Backstage Group. Engineered by Jim Belserik and edited by Glenn Reed. You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link. Please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, that's our show.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you.
Mr. Jeff Goldblum, everybody.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.